Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good evening. We've done the sound check. I want to make sure you can hear all the people that are present. We'd like to thank you for sharing this trial run for our Bible study by conference calling. You have no idea it means the world to me that you participated in this, and I hope that you will find something uplifting out of it all. So let us pray first, and I'm going to ask Kelly to pray for us.
Father God, we just thank you for this time, Lord. We thank you, and I thank you for all that have gathered here to be a part of this call, those who may listen to it later. We pray that your will be done. I pray that you would open up our hearts and our minds to receive you. We lift up Mom to you, Father God, and I pray that you would use her in this time with everyone and that it would be a time of fellowship, insight, and just that we would give you glory. We thank you. We come against any technical difficulties, and we just thank you because it's an opportunity to learn, and we even thank you for the technology, Lord. These and other blessings we ask in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Kelly. Since we started this, I felt like the Lord was leading us to do this for people who cannot get out, people who have other reasons why they can't go out on their own or be out at night. There are many reasons people have for not studying, and it makes such a difference if you can study with a group that, and you don't have to have any requirements of you, like driving at night or driving in the cold or whatever. And since some of you have had the opportunity to do this politically or different organizations, it's all new to me, but I felt like the Lord was saying, if everybody else can use the technology, why not for the Bible? So this is what prompted us to start doing this now. It's a way to study with others, learn, and share without leaving the comfort of your home. We can even have pajama parties, so that'll be on the list to come. You don't have to think about doing anything other than just being here, listening, and sharing. There are some things that I wanted to take the first part of our session to share with you, and some of you already know that when you have a question or a comment you want to make, you just press 5-star. Press the 5 first and then the star, which is the asterisk. And when you do that, I will see that you have a question or comment. I will unmute you so you can ask your question and then mute you back. Everybody is muted all the time, so you don't hear all the different background noises and that. But when you have something to say, I will just unmute you if you push 5-star, okay? What I'm going to do is in the first half asking if you have any questions so far. You've all made it here, and I'm so pleased about that, that the numbers and that worked and you're all here. So what we can do is answer any questions you might have about getting to the site or what it means for you. So if you can ask any questions, this is the time to get help while my daughter is still here. She may not do this every Tuesday or Thursday or whatever day we decide on. So do you have any questions about, did you have any problems getting to the site and everything? If you do, press okay. I see Judy has a question. So let me try my experiment here to get you unmuted. I'll put your hand down. I'll unmute you. And what is your question, Judy? I can't hear you. Kelly?
Hello?
Judy?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, and everybody else should be able to hear you.
Okay, when you are doing the lesson, we can all hear you. And only time that we can respond, or the only way for us to respond, is to hit 5-star. Am I correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
And
so
you could go ahead.
So we just listen to your lessons, and as you're talking, whatever questions we have, we hit 5-star, and you will then unmute whoever is asking the question so that everybody can hear the question. Then you'll mute the person, and then everybody will hear your answer.
Right.
Okay. I'm fine.
Okay. When we're all through with this trial this week, I would like to have your feedback and know what you think about it, although it'll be new, but just what you think or any suggestions you might have for it. The next thing I wanted to get into, like for our Bible study part, it's like any Bible study that you would go to, you would take your notebook, your pen, and your Bible. And you would take notes on the things that you question or things that you want to give a comment. You might have something that will mean a lot to everybody else that's listening too. So it's not just my giving you information, but rather you're taking what's in you to share with one another, because that's the whole point of studying with a group, that you can share things one with another. Oh, and what I forgot to do, I think, Judy, yeah, are you're muted back? Press *5 if you're muted.
I muted her back.
Oh, okay, because it's not there. That's what I got to get used to.
I did that. You have a question. Someone has a hand up.
Yes, Gladys, I'm going to unmute you. Gladys?
Okay. Yes.
You what have a question?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I wanted to know, why aren't we going to talk about the Bible tonight?
Why we aren't, or why we are?
Aren't we going to talk about the Bible tonight?
Yes. I just wanted to do the clerical part, and then we'll get right into the Bible tonight.
Okay.
Because it's new for me, and I think it's new for a few people, and how to get to what we're actually doing, and the thing about having you muted and unmuted. Everybody's going to be muted. So when you ask a question, I unmute you so everybody can hear what you're asking.
Okay, I'm just wondering what we're going to do. What
okay,
chapter
you have your Bible? Because that's where I'm getting ready to go.
Okay, what chapter?
The very first chapter of the book.
Oh,
Genesis.
Okay. All right, gotcha.
That's the chapter we're going to start on, okay?
Okay, thank you. Uh-huh.
You're welcome. Now, I like to start at the beginning of the Bible, so we can all be on one accord, basically. And there are two stories I need to share with you to tell you why I teach the way I teach. I grew up in church all my life, and I was told things about the Bible all my life. And I was told them by teachers, Sunday school, pastors, whatever. And as I grew and got more and more interested in the Bible, I discovered some of the things that I had been told were not exactly what the Bible says, but it was more or less the stuff that people pass on as tradition. So I'm going to start out by asking you two questions, and you can answer them if you know the answer. Now, Sharon, I don't know if you're on here, but you're not allowed to answer Sharon Frizzell. If you are, I don't see you, because you already know the answers to my questions. The first question has to do with the story about Noah's Ark. Do you know that story? Have you heard about Noah's Ark? And I see someone that has an answer here. I'm going to see who that is and ask them. Let's see. I'm going to unmute you. And, okay, do you have your response? Hello?
Lucille?
Yes.
Can you hear? This is Sharon. I was just letting you know
I was not going to respond to you.
Oh, good, because I didn't have your name by your number, so I didn't know if it was you. Well, do not respond, because it was new to you, and I want them to tell me, someone there other than Sharon to tell me.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to mute you back, Sharon.
Okay.
Now, I don't see other hands. I know you all have heard that story about Noah's Ark, haven't you? Somebody heard it? Because most of the people I know are here, go to church. Give me one person with an answer so I can move on. Nobody? All right, I'm going to have to let Sharon tell you the story. Oh, here's someone. Judy, I'm going to unmute you. Okay, Judy. Hello?
Hello, it's me, Judy.
Yes.
Question was, what do we know about Noah's Ark?
Right.
And the reason for Noah's Ark was because the people of the world at that time had just become so disorderly and totally out to lunch that God told Noah to build this ark, to take animals, two of each of the animals and birds and whatever, so that they would be saved and a new world would begin of people, Noah's family, that would be saved, and the world would not be completely destroyed of people, because Noah and his family would be the ones that would be the survivors to start another world again. And I think world is the wrong word to use. Okay?
Okay. There was something interesting that you had said, and I want us all to keep it in mind, and that was about when you said he told them to take the animals, two of each kind. Now, I'm going to mute you back.
Okay.
And Gladys has a comment, and so I want to see what Gladys is going to say.
Okay.
Okay?
Fine.
Okay. Gladys?
Yes.
Okay, you had your hand up. What were you going to add to that?
I was going to say basically the same thing. That, the earth, the people of the earth was not good people any longer, as they are now. A lot of people on earth are not good people no longer. And he had to start over and try to do a better job, is my way of putting it. And here we are back at the same thing again. But the ark was to save the good, and part of the speeches of all animals and everything that was living on earth.
Okay, and what was he supposed to do with the animals?
He's supposed to keep them and let them go when the water recedes. They lived off the animals, milk and other things, I guess, you know, while they was on the ark all those many days. So I think the majority of the people do know what the ark represents and why it was built and what it did.
Okay. I'm going to mute you back, and then I'm going to unmute Sharon so she can share something that she found out that was not necessarily what we think we've been told all our lives, okay?
All right. Okay.
All right, I'm going to go out. Okay, Sharon? Sharon? Sharon?
Okay. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. I had unmuted you.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Do you
want
to... Huh?
Well,
the animals didn't go too bad, too. He collected every animal that was on the face of the earth. And they were in the ark, and the ark had, like, different levels. Is that correct, Lucille?
No, that's not in Scripture. One of the things I want us to pay attention to, things that we've always heard are not necessarily the things that are in the Bible itself. We've heard them, and we keep telling the story one way because it's what was told to us and what was taught to us. And
actually taught to us was that Noah built this ark, and there was supposed to be a rain that would come and destroy the earth, and that he gathered two of each of the different species of animals and put them on the ark, and when the rain came, the ark moved and went away. That's what was taught to us as we were children. But if you read the Bible, it's totally different.
And what would you be surprised how many animals and fowls and that were?
There was a lot of them.
Okay.
Every bird that you could name, and the ones that we did not know anything about, they were all different. It wasn't just the lions and the elephants and the goats and the cows. There were all of the animals that the good Lord had put down here on this earth, and it wasn't too bad, too.
Okay, and do you know where you found that in the Bible?
No, because right now I am in my tablet, and I don't, looking at the Bible, I don't have my other Bible with me because I can see this one a little better.
Okay, if you're in your tablets, and for all of us who have tablets or iPads and that, any question you want to know, usually, you can go to your information on your tablet. If you have an iPad, you can ask the question. You don't even have to type it in, but you can ask it. How did the animals go into the ark? And that's the one thing I wanted to stress, because what we were taught, or at least what I was taught growing up, we had those songs about how the animals went in the ark two by two. And what it actually says in Scripture is that some animals were two by two. And I want you, if you have your Bibles there with you, turn to chapter 7 of the book of Genesis. Turn to chapter 7, the first verse, and start at the first verse, because the first three verses tells you something that you have probably not heard. And then as we study, we'll learn why it makes a difference, because we are taught in 2 Timothy to study to show ourselves approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. And when we just repeat what we've always heard without studying it for ourselves, then we're not worthy of what God has called us to do and to be. Now, if you have that, and I'm not unmuting you yet, Sharon, but you can hear me. Okay. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation. I'm reading King James. And he tells him, of every clean beast you should take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and every beast that are not clean by twos, the male and his female, of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. To me, that was one example of how you could have been taught something and you continue to teach it to other people, because we gloss over some of the words of Scripture. Now, Sharon, I'm going to mute you back, and then I'll ask this other question. And it has to do about the Christmas story. And sometimes when I tell people about this, they don't especially like it. I was told I ruined people's Christmas cards. But when you see a Christmas card,
Mom?
Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but Judy has a question. Her hand has been up for a minute, so I just want you to get it before you move to the next one.
Thank you. Sorry. Lower the hand. It'll go faster when I learn what I'm doing. Okay. Judy?
Yeah. I was just wanting to say that did clear when I said two by two, and if you say we have learned things over our lifetime, and we've just carried that on in what we thought it was supposed to have been. This was the first time I really think, knowing that there was seven of every kind of clean animal and unclean animal. This is the first time I've ever heard the number seven. So that's interesting and very informative for me. So that's all I wanted to say was that I always understood that there was a male and a female of every animal or bird or whatever it was, creature that was on the earth that went into the ark. But this is the first time I've ever paid attention to the number seven. So
yeah, and I had never heard it till I was an adult, to be honest. And we sang those little songs, taught them to our kids. You know, the animals went in two by two, whatever those songs were. And all of this, we may not think it's insignificant, but it has a lot of significance because you're even saying that seven has a point. And we can take every word and investigate that word and see what else it means for us. I like Bible study because it teaches us how to live. It gets you the history, and it also gets you the action that we're supposed to take. I'm going to mute you back, and then was there anyone else that had a comment that they want, something they wanted to say? Okay. The second question that I usually start off with new classes with has to do with the Christmas holiday. On the Christmas holiday, you pick out your Christmas cards every year. When you pick out your Christmas cards, usually a lot of people like to have the nativity scene with Jesus in the manger, and then the shepherds are there, the angels are there, and who else is there? Anybody know who else is usually on that Christmas card? When you see or think of the nativity scene, that's the scene, the stable scene. You see the animals. Who else do you see? Anybody have cards that have the wise men with the gifts? Anybody? I know you all get those cards if you don't buy them. Okay. I have Judy, and then I'm going to have Sharon. So, Judy, I'm going to unmute you.
Oh.
Yes, Judy.
Okay, the only one that I've ever known was just the three wise men, Mary, Joseph, and the baby, what was in that picture. If there was anybody else, it is unbeknownst to me.
Okay, and where did you get your information from?
I guess from just being raised, and that, well, from not only just the pictures, but what they were saying in Catholic classes, that I was raised Catholic. And
okay.
That was what was always taught to me, that, and the pictures that I saw even today, you just see Mary, Joseph, the baby, and the three wise men.
Okay. Now, before I answer or respond to that, I'm going to, this is Chris, right? No, it's Judy. I'm going to let Sharon comment as long as she doesn't answer my question. Okay, I'm going to mute you back. Sharon?
Yes?
You're unmuted.
Oh, I was going to answer the question, but she did leave out the animals and whatever, and that they were in a stall-like. That's what was told to us. But, Lucille, I know you get ready to give the answer because you know I already know the answer.
She only knows the answer because she had private tutoring before, not for this. But it's something that I like to bring to people's attention, especially if you've been trying to follow God for a while and you believe in what you've been taught. Because I have people all the time say, well, that's what I was taught and that's what I believe. But that's why we actually have the Bible, so that we can believe for ourselves what we find out, what God and the Holy Spirit leads us to know. Now, I'm going to unmute you, Sharon. I'm going to mute you back, and then I'm going to share the whole thing, okay?
Okay.
But thank you. Okay. Now, we're just going to do a brief examination of what you said, Judy. Where in the Bible do you see there were three wise men? That's the first question. And anybody can answer this or respond to this. Where do you find in the Bible that there were three wise men? Let's see. Oh, Judy, you found it? Let me unmute you. Okay.
Okay, this is me, Judy. Number one, I understood the question to be what people were in that was in the picture.
Right.
I started to say animals, but then I just assumed that that's what you were talking about, with the people.
I was talking about the people.
Okay.
Animals just had to happen to be there since it was their stable.
Oh, right. Okay. And then the second question as to where did I find it, I can't even begin to tell you where it is in the Bible. I can only tell you that it's what I've been taught all of my life.
Okay. And that's my point that I try to make before I start any class, because we hold tight to those things which we were taught, because they've been taught to us throughout childhood up into adulthood, and then we end up teaching the same thing again. And I'm going to ask the question, everybody that has a Bible, can you find or do you know where that information would be in your Bible? Pat? No. It's Judy?
No, I don't know.
Okay. Now, what happens is, and I'm going to tell you this, and what happens is that we saw a story, we can read the story. Somebody that has have your iPhone or your iPad, I want you, if you have these things, use them for a study tool, because it's really, really good. You go to Safari, like I can go to Safari, and I can look up any scripture, I can use my Bible app, whatever, and I'm going to ask that question, and what I want to say is the story of Jesus' birth with the wise men. Okay? All I have to do is say that, and then I go, and what it does, it takes me to all these stories about the wise men coming to Jesus' birth. Now, the interesting thing about it, and I was going to tell you exactly where it was, but I want you to do this when before you go to sleep tonight or before Thursday. There was never any mention in Scripture that there are three wise men. That's number one. Make that a note. There are not three wise men mentioned in Scripture. The other part of that note is, you know how you have the wise men standing with their gold, frankincense, and myrrh, the three guys looking at the baby and the mother and everything? You all seen that picture, right? Well, it may be surprising to know that the wise men, according to Scripture, were never at the stable. Does that surprise anybody? They were never at the stable. The Scripture tells you that when the wise men came, and it doesn't say three, it never says three, they came to the house where the child was with his mother. Not a baby, not a manger, not a stable. It's all, what do you call it, advertisement or whatever. They wanted a good picture somewhere along the line. But Scripture actually tells you that when they came, they followed a star to find the baby. And when they found the baby had to have been a toddler because they traveled by camels a long way. And the other proof to that, the child, it was a child and not a baby, is when Herod tells them, when you find the baby, come back and tell me so I can go worship him. But when he comes, they don't come back to him at all. And he gets angry, and he has his soldiers kill all babies from age 2 and under, because that should, somewhere in there, it would cover the birth of Jesus. So it was not as a baby. He had become a child with his parents. So it's just opening the door to help us to see that everything we've always been taught is not necessarily what truly was. I see Kelly has her hand up, and I'm going to unmute her. Are you unmuted?
Yes. So the question I had, I didn't know if it was supposed to be homework. Were you going to give what the scripture is? Because I know the account is in, what, Luke and then Mark and I think someplace else. Or is that what? Is that
You're giving them help for their homework. See, when we study, I like for us to study, meaning I like to have us look it up and find it for ourselves.
Okay.
I'm telling the story, but you're going to find out where the story is written. You understand?
Okay.
But I appreciate you doing that. But does anybody have any questions or comments about that? While Kelly's there, and I'm going to mute you back, Kelly. Okay, does anyone have any questions about that? Okay, well, those are my two things for introducing you to why I love teaching and why I love to study. Mainly because I want to, when I study, I want to know the Word of God, not the word that somebody else told me. And I want my students to be able to search and find what it is that they're questioning or they've been told, to know that it's true. When Jesus is crucified, it tells you in Scripture that the curtain that divided from the Holy of Holies from the people was ripped in half, all by itself or all by the Holy Spirit. When it was ripped in half, it signifies that no longer would there be a barrier against the Word of God or against God, that people would be able to go to God for themselves. And it's so much easier, we think, to listen to someone else and go to God in their, I just say, in their car, in their steed. It's better if somebody else is driving and I don't have to do the work. But if we're serious about the Word of God, we need to do the work for ourselves, because nobody else is going to go to heaven or to hell for you. So they might want to trade off and go to heaven for you. But this is what I usually start off with. Now, what I wanted to do, we have time to go to the beginning of Genesis. There's a reason why I go to Genesis, too. Nobody had any questions from those, or did I upset your Christmas cards? It's a pretty picture, and I like the picture, but since I learned that, I try not to get the cards that have the wise men at the stable. it's enough at the stable if Jesus and Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the animals are there, that we don't keep promoting something that is not biblically true. Okay, we're going to move back to Genesis 1, and this is the basis for, to me, it's the basis for everything in the Bible. If we get this part and we see everything in light of this part, then we will not be far from the kingdom, I'll say. In the first chapter, and this is where I really expect help from you all, in the first chapter, the first verse, it tells us, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. What just happened there? What happened? Anybody? Anybody? Now, I know you've heard Genesis 1 before, so anyone? Ah, thank you. I'm going to Judy. Judy, you're standing in for everybody tonight. I'm not scaring you all off, am I?
Okay.
Unmute it, Judy.
Okay. He made the earth, the land, and the sky. With the water. There was the land, the sky, and the water. Well, just the water and the sky. Okay? Because there was no earth at that point in time, because prior to that, it was just he made the day and night, and now he makes the sky because it was all water. Am I correct in saying that it was all water, and then he separated or made the sky, or earth, I should say, sky, earth, I'm going to put them as the same. And in the water.
Okay. How did he do it?
How did he do it?
Yep.
He just did it because he can.
Because he's God, right?
God, because he can.
But how did he do it? Anybody?
With his word. He just said.
Okay. That's what I'm looking for. How did he do it? He did it by saying it. Right?
Right.
Everything he did, it says, he said, he spoke to it, and it became what he said it was, right?
Right.
Okay. I'm going to mute you back, and then I think who has, I'm going to mute you back, and that's important for us to hold on to, the fact that he said it, because that's where I'm going. Kelly? Kelly?
Yeah, give me a second. You unmuted a few people.
I'm sorry, huh?
I fixed it. Okay, so I mean, basically, I was going to say the same thing that she said, but what struck me was basically was like time was created. He spoke time into existence. And I never looked at it like that before, where he, you know, where it says that he separated and he said, and God called the light day and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. So that was time.
That was time.
So time was formed and then, you know, the foundation. of the earth were created. So basically it was the same thing, but it just kind of stood out to me that he spoke time into being.
Okay.
That was it. That was just my comment, no question.
No, that's really true and interesting, because that's what the rest of where we're going. Because when he teaches, when he speaks things to come into being, God called the earth the firmament heaven. I'm going to mute you back because I want us to see at least today to go to Genesis 26:27, because that's our foundation. So I'm going to mute you, I think. Mm-hmm. You're muted. Okay. If we finish that chapter, and it would be a good thing to read it when you go home. It's just the whole chapter. It's not that long. But when you get to verses 26, I want us to look at that for a moment. Verse 26 of Genesis 1, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his image, in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth on the earth. What did we see, or did we see it? Did you know how you were created? Have you ever thought about how you were created? Have you ever been told how you were created? Come on now. Somebody? Sharon? Gladys? Ah. Okay, Sharon, I see your hand. Okay, you're unmuted. You may.
It says, God said he created every living thing. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, and he said that he created everything. So, therefore, we all were created by him. Because we are living things.
Okay. Now, he just said in that verse 26.
And go forth and multiply.
Okay, but don't skip the part that's the beginning of 26. Verse 26, what does it say? Or do you have, you don't have your Bible with you?
Yeah, I'm looking at it now.
Okay, the first part of 26.
Let us make man in his image.
Okay, so what does that mean?
Let's have dominion over everything.
Okay, right. That's partially there. There's more to it.
It said, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl in the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and every creeping thing that crept upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them.
Okay, stop there. Now, what does that mean for us? What's an image and what's a likeness?
His likeness.
And what is he like?
He is God. He is the creator of all living things.
Okay, so what does that make you?
a part of him. I'm in his likeness. It doesn't make any difference how anyone looks or whatever. We are all created in his image. And
okay, and what's an image and what's a likeness? This is a question that we tend to stay away from. But if he says, okay, like if you're the image of your dad or your mom, and they'll say, you're just like your mom, what does that mean?
That doesn't so much mean as the features. It means what's in their heart and how they present themselves.
Okay, I see you, Judy.
Good or evil. It all depends on who your parents were.
Okay, Sharon, keep your thought. I'm going to mute you back, and I'm going to, because we'll come back to that, because you're halfway there.
Okay.
Okay, Judy. You're unmuted.
Okay, yeah, I'm unmuted. You're asking oh, goodness gracious, here.
You're good.
God is good. God was good. And he made man in his image, which means to me that man at that time when he made them was good just like God. Didn't mean to me that he had all the power and was omnipotent like God and everything, but he was made in his image and he was good at that point.
Now, there's something creeping in there that shouldn't be creeping in there.
Okay.
God is good,
right.
But he's more than good. And if you're in his image and in his likeness, he's saying what I have, you have.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
He's saying, right. But I don't believe that he was saying that we were almighty and all-powerful like him.
Okay, stop right there. Why don't you believe that?
Because I think if we were, then it would be a whole different ball game at that point in time.
Not if we were, Judy.
Huh?
But what about not if we were, if we believed we were?
Well, if we believed we were. At that point in time, when he made man, if you're saying that they believed at that point in time that they were exactly like him, omnipotent, almighty, all-powerful, because there was no sin at that point in time, so they had no reason to think of anything negative.
Mm. So doesn't that make him like him? I'm going to tell you something that Jesus said, and this is in St. John, I think around the 13th or 14th chapter. It's when Jesus comes and he tells us we are joint heirs. What does that mean? To be joint heirs, like a new heir to the throne just got born, 7 movements down. What does that mean?
Equal.
Uh-huh. What else? What else does equal mean?
The same. Identical.
Mm-hmm. See, one of the problems when we've been taught all our lives that you hear it when people pray in church and that sometimes, that we're just old filthy rags, not capable, not this, not that. When God said, he made all these animals. I'm going to go back with you. He made all these animals, right?
Yes.
And then he made them so that they could reproduce after their own kind. It says that in that first chapter.
Correct.
Everything reproduces after its own kind. Now, does it say that these cows are going to reproduce chickens?
No.
The flowers are going to reproduce grass?
No.
Ah, he has a reproduction plan for the whole earth. And then he says, after he does the whole earth, he says, let us make humankind after what?
Him?
Yeah. We just don't believe we have any power, and that's why Jesus came to say, you not only have power to do anything, you have power over death. That was the whole point of Easter, really.
Okay.
It's throughout the Bible. It's not something I'm saying. It's something the Bible tells us. And usually we get lost in the very first book of the Bible, and then often people want to run the Revelations, and they want to study Revelation, and they don't even realize that Revelation is telling them the same thing, just in another format.
Interesting.
It's really powerful because think about when you want to do something and you make up your mind to do it, don't you usually achieve it?
I like to think so.
That's power. That's God power within each of us. Each of us, like all the things you all do in class, that's God's creative power. Just like he created the earth, we're creators because he was a creator.
Right. Okay.
He said this. I didn't say this. He said, let humankind have dominion. What does the word dominion mean? Anybody? Let's see who's, I'm still with you, Judy. No, I'm trying to make sure I get carried away and don't look at the board. Okay, you're still open, right?
I'm still open?
Mm-hmm.
When you say
everyone can hear what you're saying.
When you say, what does dominion mean? It means that you have power over.
Ah. So if you got power, what's it for?
It's supposed to be for good. To be able to do.
And what does God do? And how does he use his power?
Uses his power to, I'd like to say, instruct us, give us wisdom, understanding.
I'm sorry. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created him. He them, and God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. And
let me ask this question.
Mm-hmm.
When God created man and he made him into his image,
mm-hmm.
But when Adam and Eve sinned, was man no longer in his image? Because now he has sinned.
Oh, you're so good. You just forward us right into next time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's wonderful because, see, we get stuck oftentimes in the garden. And we never get out of the garden, and we just want to hold on to what the sin is about. And God knew that, and that's why he sent Jesus, and it's all through the scripture, that he sent Jesus to overcome any sin that they did in the garden.
So we are no longer, once Adam and Eve sinned, we were no longer in God's image. Am I correct or not?
No. I hate to say no like that. You're still in his image. It's just like, okay, a prisoner. A prisoner shoots somebody or kills somebody and goes to jail. But it doesn't change his outward, or it may change his inward actions or whatever, but it doesn't change who he is. And that was the whole point of Jesus coming, so he could show you what you could do, what power you have. And when you look at his 3 years with the disciples, he was trying to get them to be powerful. to use their power. They went out, he sent them out to heal and to do all the things he was doing, and they came back so excited. He says, even the demons listened to us. Before they took any action that Jesus had taught them, they just thought they were ordinary people. They were fishermen. That's why they went back fishing after Jesus was resurrected.
Okay. I'm on the page with that. I understand. I agree with that.
Okay.
Once you gave the example of the difference of how that person, that prisoner, the man that goes to jail or whatever, his inward self does not change.
And
what
it may. See, we have, I said, and it may. The inward may change because there have been lots of people who have been rehabilitated
right.
from doing various things,
right.
you know?
Right. It may change. It may change. Right.
Yeah, and then again, it may not. Ah, it's the end of Bible study. It's our 8 o'clock call. I'm going to hear the last thing you want to say, Judy.
No, let me just say, just moving along, thank you for the opportunity to have this Bible study like this and all, and to bring some questions, some things that I hadn't thought about, looking at it in a different way. And so it's been a very good evening for me, and I thank you for that.
Thank you. And I thank you for your questions and your inquiry, because we don't really grow unless we question. And there are no right and wrong questions. And so I wish more people would have asked questions, and I'd know where to go. So what I'd like to do, thank you, Judy. Are you okay for me to okay, I'm going to unmute you, I think, or if I already did it, or mute you. That's what I have to do. Okay, and I'm going to, Kelly, your hand is up. And you are unmuted. Kelly?
You muted me back. Okay. I just had a comment. I thought this was really good. I thought it was a really good session. But one of the things I was thinking about, even as I think it was Judy who was talking, and we were just talking about how, you know, like after the fall, and there were men that, you know, and then Noah. That's what I want to bring it back to. I thought it was very interesting because I never really saw that before, that he brought not only clean animals, but he brought the unclean. And it's like nobody gets left behind. It was just those that were so entrenched into sin. And so it's like we don't have to be perfect. And I think about that because sometimes we think that we are not worthy because maybe we're stuck in sin or maybe we have an issue with something. But he still took that which was unclean and even gave them the opportunity to multiply and recreate. So I just think that was of importance, and I just wanted to bring that up, something I learned and thought about.
Thank you for sharing that. Anyone else? Okay, what I want to do before we close out totally is if you want to give the names, I have ends of phone numbers, and I have no names for at least two people. If your phone number ends in 4067, are you there? Just press 5 star.
They left already.
Oh, they left already?
Yeah, and Sharon has her hand up.
Okay.
But we have just 0664. That's the only number we have that we don't have a name for. So
okay.
If you want to give a name, if you could hit 5 star, and then I can just enter your name. So we can address you.
Yes, Sharon. I have Sharon open. Sharon?
No, she's muted. You got to unmute her.
I thought I did. Sharon?
Yes, I just wanted to let you know I enjoyed this session, and I'm looking forward to Thursday's session.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I am too. So read that first chapter.
Yeah.
Chris, I'm coming to you.
And also, what you were talking about Jesus, that's in Matthew 14, chapter, verse, I think 7.
Sharon's helping all of you with your homework. She's telling you where it's found.
Okay, that's my homework. Okay, talk
yep.
to you later.
Okay, I'm going to Chris, if I can get this. I'm going to close Sharon.
Okay, close me out.
I think you're still there, right? Are you muted, Sharon? Yeah.
Yes,
I'm going to Chris. I see your hand, and I'm going here. Okay, Chris.
Hi, Lucille.
Hi, Chris.
I enjoyed the part of the call that I was on. I had to leave the call. Grandkids did a pop-up. You know how they pop-up.
I understand.
But what I heard, I enjoyed. Looking forward to Thursday. I already have a life group with ladies at my church. So Thursday I cannot attend, but I'll be here next Tuesday, okay?
Okay, and that was going to be my question, that for everyone's here tonight, if you are interested in keeping it on Tuesday evening at 7, just 5-star me, and that way that'll give us one sense of direction. And if there, I want to know really, is it, how do you feel about questions being asked? Asked of you.
I'm fine. I'm a little shy in the beginning, but I'll kick in.
Okay. Well, I know everybody didn't know what to expect in that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think we learn best when we put our two cents in, or we are challenged by what we think we know and we don't always know. I tell people all the time, I love to preach because I find out so much stuff I don't know. So when you get in the Word. Pat, I didn't hear from you. So, Chris, I thank you, and hopefully we'll look forward to you on Tuesday night.